Many small businesses in America tell pollsters they're feeling just great. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. It's striking just how unpopular the tax overhaul has become. Reuters and Quinnipiac polls each find just 29% of Americans like it. A USA Today Suffolk poll finds support at just 32%. Most think plans mainly benefit the wealthy and not the middle class. But let's turn to a group who are loving this plan, small businesses. The National Federation of Independent Business represents companies with average taxable income of about $75,000. That trade association's new survey out this morning finds optimism in November among these companies running very close to an all-time high. Juanita Duggan, president and CEO of the NFIB, says you have to go back to 1983 to find the mood this upbeat.
That was right before the Reagan expansion, and that was when the Economic Recovery and Tax Act had come into play and significant tax cuts that led to 20 million new jobs and the largest peacetime recovery ever.
One of the complex but very important parts of this would be of crucial interest to small businesses is how the profits of their businesses are taxed, often depending on the size of the business, passed through to individual returns. Often those profits can be taxed at a higher rate than other corporations.
You need to remember that 99.9% of all businesses are small. And 3/4 of those in our membership are the pass-through entities, so they do pay on their individual return. And you could see tax rates as high as 43%, and corporations only pay 35%. This is why NFIB was so concerned about this tax bill, because at the beginning, we thought it was leaving too many small businesses behind. Now we have really good provisions, and I think the difference is going to be either a very good tax cut or a great tax cut, depending what Congress does this week.
Back to the biggest challenges for the small businesses. You asked, and the list was taxes, 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 taxes. But then somewhere high on the list was finding qualified workers.
Finding qualified workers, and in some cases, having no applicants. You know, the jobs are there. We're creating the jobs, but they're not able to find the kind of educated workforce with the right skills that they need.
So some of this is training the workers we need. Some of this is the strength of the economy currently. What do businesses think? Do you think the Trump administration's tougher line on immigration is contributing to this trouble finding the people they need to work?
It's unclear. We haven't asked that question directly, but it's clearly in some ways just a big skills gap. And also the social skills of some of the younger workers coming into the economy.
So do you have any sense of what small businesses might do with the money they save on taxes under these plans?
They have told us that they want to expand. They want to buy equipment. They want to purchase more inventory. They want to create a couple jobs. They want, in some cases, to give better benefits to their workers. So we know that this money is going to be plowed back into the businesses.
Juanita Duggan, president and CEO of the National Federation of Independent Business. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
Now, 5 European finance ministers have written to Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin to express concerns about U.S. plans for tax reform. Germany, the U.K., France, Spain, and Italy say parts of the emerging tax plan could violate World Trade Organization rules, plus treaties intended to ensure that income is not taxed twice in different countries. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this for us.
There is a strong implication in the letter that the European ministers are prepared to consider a legal challenge in the World Trade Organization. A proposal in the Senate bill to apply a lower tax rate to what it calls foreign-derived intangible income could, they say, face a challenge as an illegal export subsidy. They also argue that a tax proposed in the House version on payments to foreign-affiliated companies could discriminate in a way that's incompatible with WTO rules. The 5 ministers write that they recognise that the tax system is one of the essential pillars of a state's sovereignty, but they say it's important that reforms are consistent with international obligations to which the US has signed up.
The BBC's Andrew Walker. Let's check markets. The 100-share index in London is up 0.3%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed. The Dow future is up by less than 0.1%. NASDAQ future down slightly. If you ask me, the U.S. Federal Reserve will raise interest rates tomorrow at the conclusion of its 2-day meeting. The 10-year Treasury yield is up now near 2.39%. As a nonprofit organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day, to increase economic intelligence across the country. We believe it's important work, which we're already doing, and right now would be a great time for you to help. When you donate to support Marketplace today, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar by our friends at the Candida Fund. Listeners like you who give to Marketplace do more than help keep the show on the air. You help us grow and get better. It's a way to directly support independent reporting and journalism you can trust, and the payoff comes with what you hear every day. Don't miss out on this chance to make your donation go twice as far. Give today at marketplace.org, and thank you. Taxes aren't the only topic under debate in Congress right now. Today, a committee in the House takes up a bill that would rewrite the Federal Higher Education Act. The process is expected to take months and could affect everything from how students pay for college to campus free speech. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott is following this.
The so-called PROSPER Act would increase work-study funding and raise the maximum amount undergrads can borrow. Pell Grant recipients could get a $300 bonus for taking extra credits. But Mamie Voigt with the Institute for Higher Education Policy says the bill eliminates a separate need-based grant, as well as subsidized loans that save students money on interest.
Both of these provisions would really be hurting the lowest-income students the most.
The House bill would ease some restrictions on for-profit colleges, like a rule preventing them from making more than 90% of their revenue from federal financial aid. Jason Delisle with the American Enterprise Institute says all colleges should be held accountable for student success.
We need one accountability measure that works across the board. And I think what you've seen over the years is, well, this one didn't work, so let's add a new one.
The Senate is expected to deliver its version sometime in the new year. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And big shopping malls are often looking a little wan and sounding a little quiet in these days of e-commerce, but they're not worthless. There's news this morning that a huge mall company, Westfield, is being taken over by a European concern for nearly $16 billion. The purchaser is a European property company called Unibail Rodamco. Although you see the Westfield logo in malls across America, it's actually based in Australia, started in a deli near Sydney by a Holocaust survivor from the Czech Republic. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I am David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.